Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red hot...
Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're playing Minnie the Moocher for a reason. We're going to cover, of course, politics as usual. But we're going to get a little personal today. And I'm going to ask you, since we're approaching the holiday season, and, oh, it's a time of giving, and a time of giving, and giving, and giving, and getting nothing back. We're going to talk about freeloader horror stories, both in the family and amongst friends. Your worst freeloader horror story, whether it's family or friends, people to whom you have given all your life and get nothing back from, kind of thing. But first, I want to talk about the politics of the day. Just got off an airplane from the East Coast. I think I'm back on the West Coast. I'm dizzy from the flying, you know, 6 hours, whatever, 6.5 hours. I got to take my little trusty Swiss Army knife and turn it back now from, what is it, 6:09? I got to make it 3:09. Here we go. Just save 3 hours. 3:09. Is it 3:09? Clock says 3:07. Sorry. My dog was sick. I had to come home for that as well. I was told he had a cough and went to the vet. So naturally, I had a bad night thinking it was going to be a repeat of my little dog, Willie, who when I was younger and I left him in Hawaii and we went to New York and we came back and he was dead. He had eaten a frog and died. You know, you get those... They become a part of you. What are you going to do? But he's fine. He's right here. He's licking my hand, telling me to get off the radio and get in bed like a sane person. What are you doing on the radio right now? But truthfully, I'm here for you, and you're here for me. So I was watching a show last night talking about politics called The Boss with Kelsey Grammer on HBO, which is really phenomenal. I mean, I told you I watched Boardwalk Empire, and it got better and better, which it did. I could do without the incest scene in the last one, but okay. It's the best Hollywood can produce now. They've you know, done every other taboo, so I guess a mother with her son in bed is not a big deal to whatever his name is. Who's that director? The one they love? Raging Bull. What's his name? Martin scores easily. I mean, where's he going to go next? I mean, they got to go to incest. What's next? You know, they can't do child porn, so they could do incest. So in the show The Boss, which I watched after that with Kelsey Grammer, I was shocked by it. Because what Kelsey Grammer has done is amazing. He's channeled Orson Welles almost in an eerie manner. He's got Orson Welles' delivery, his voice, and it's strange, of course, the character is called Kane. The mayor of Chicago is called Kane. So it's about the power machine in Chicago, the boss, the mayor's office. Okay, that has a lot to do with today's politics. So in one of the scenes, he's talking to someone and he says, how are we going to win this election? And he says, the way all elections are won, money, muscle, and neutralize your opponent. And a bell went off in my head because I said, that's exactly what Obama's machine is doing now. They're spending gobs of money. They've got the muscle on the street, which they haven't yet unleashed fully. And they're neutralizing the Republican opponents one by one. They knocked out the non-entities like whatever her name was, Miss IRS, who said she was a tax attorney. I don't even remember her name, Amway. Anway, what was her name? Anway? What's her name, Beowulf? I forgot already. You know who I mean. The female candidate for the presidency. What was her name? Oh, yeah. Michelle Bachmann. I somehow think of her as Anway. Then they knocked out Kane. Of course, he wasn't too hard to, you know, he had me fooled. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I feel like truthfully let down by Kane. He you know, he's gone. So now they're going after Fatso. The retread, the white wall tire, the marshmallow, whatever you want to call them, the old white wall tire. It's astonishing what the Republicans are doing. And that's what they're doing. Money, muscle, and neutralize your opponent. And I said, is this what Obama's machine is now doing? first destroy them one after another, and then go, of course, after Romney, who's standing there like Mr. Nobody in the middle. The next story I would like to touch on the Savage Nation, if you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Although in the loquacious state that I'm in, I don't know if I'm going to take many calls today, in the sense that I'm giddy, I'm manicky, I'm exhausted, so therefore I'm full of energy. In other words, the worse I feel, the better I perform. Sometimes it works it works that way. But my head's spinning. And I got a lot of things I want to talk about. I was working on the book Trickle Down Tyranny on the plane, and I was working on my new novel. I got scene after scene. For some reason, my mind was like kaleidoscopically producing cards in a deck. I couldn't believe it. It could have been the fact that I took an allergy medication last night, because in Boynton Beach, I had a piece of salmon. I don't know if it was the salmon. Who knows? I tried to, retro what did it. So I had to take a Benadryl last night, and I woke up so tired. Benadryl's like, whoa, man, it wipes you out. But you want to hear something about Benadryl? It's almost got like a psychedelic effect on me, Benadryl. It's supposed to be an anti-allergy medication. I don't know what it did to me, but I saw like a white light in front of my head, and then I started prolifically releasing scene after scene for the new novel with that's supposed to follow Abuse of Power, and then I'm finishing the introduction to Trickle Down Tyranny. I'm like a ball of energy, okay? So here I am, and here's what I wanted to say to you. I'm on the plane, pick up the Wall Street Journal, front page. They say that to the chagrin of many liberals in the truest sense of the word, in Egypt, instead of a liberal government, they're getting an Arab winter. And they quote the words Arab winter. So a bell goes off. I said, that's interesting. Who coined the phrase Arab winter? Well, it was Michael Savage. It was used without credit by the Drudge Report. Do you remember when I first predicted that Jimmy Carter, Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the others were producing an Arab winter across the Arab Crescent? You remember who did it? Me. Now, of course, they wouldn't give me credit. It's owned by Moloch. I mean, Rupert Moloch owns the Wall Street Journal. I wouldn't expect them to go off their game. But there it is. So as Lao Tzu said, and I personally knew Lao Tzu, he wasn't a bad guy, but he was a moocher. As Lao Tzu said to me thousands of years ago when I first ran into him in the streets of China when we were looking for a good chop suey one night, Lao Tzu said to me, he said, it matters not who gets credit for who does what. All that matters is that your ideas are used. Of course, that was before intellectual property rights came about, so... Here we are, Arab winter, coined by Savage, used by no credit on the Drudge Report. But the horror story of the Arab winter is the real story. What is happening to the young people at Arab, the young people with the tight dungarees and the blackberries that Anderson Cooper was so in love with. He couldn't get enough of them. Oh, look at the Arab youth rioting in Tahrir Square. Oh, my God, I'm going out there again. I'm going to have such a good time. And I said, Anderson, you moron, you. You stupid idiot, you. You useless idiot, you. Don't you understand what you are bringing in here, you morons, you? One after the other. They were ushering in the Muslim Brotherhood and worse. When I say worse, you have no idea what Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, George Soros, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and the other psychos who think that they're so brilliant have ushered into the world. Do you know that the young protesters are getting Islamic radicals instead of freedom? Do you know that the mastermind of the murder of Anwar Sadat has been released from prison and he's now rising again in Egypt with the so-called Arab Spring? How come I, a guy alone, without meetings, without my hands folded, without State Department dinners, without Air Force 3, how come I could see this and they couldn't? Answer. You know what the answer is? They could see it. And that's what scares me. You see, if I could see it, an ordinarily, reasonably intelligent man who simply reviews things, analyzes things, if I saw the Arab winter was coming, not the Arab spring, and I saw the Islamists were going to win, from Algeria to Egypt, then that means they saw it too. And that means they want the Islamists to win. And now, boys and girls, here's what your homework assignment is. Check out who the Sunni Muslims are. Check out who the Shia Muslims are. Check out who the Iranians are. Check out who the Islamists are. And check out who you're backing and who our government is backing. You'll find out what's going on in the world. And then we'll talk about, for fun, not a dog that coughs and what should be done for it, because I already know what to do for Teddy's cough. It was all emotional. I knew that. Oh, they call it kennel cough, but I knew it was just loneliness. He thought I had ditched him. I've been gone 10 days, and I've never been gone once this time period. I never left my dog that long. I knew he just needed some emotional support. So the minute I got off the plane, I rushed to the house, and the dog came here. I gave him provolone cheese. Then I gave him a hug. Then I gave him a kiss. Then I gave him some fresh roast beef. Then I gave him some water. Then I rubbed his head again. Then I brought him down to the radio studio, and he's looking better and coughing less. And then we're going to talk about freeloader horror stories on the Savage Nation, if that's not enough for you. Freeloader horror stories, whether they be relatives for whom the bell always tolls, meaning they're always asking you for something, whether it's overt, covert, but it's known that you have to give them, and they don't even say thank you. I said thank you. What do you mean? How come you don't say thank you? I said thank you. Not even an email thank you. Or mooch jobs who you take to dinner day after day, night after night, and they never lift up a finger. Mooch jobs who won't even leave the tip. Mooch jobs who won't tip the parking lot attendant. Mooch jobs who you say, throw the maid a $10 bill for each day that you stay in my house for 10, and he leaves her $5 for 10 days. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So here I am back in the West Coast time zone I know so well from the turbulent East Coast wind on the beach, wind. Very, very lyrical, beautiful, actually, the way I liked it. But it gets to you after a while. You listen to the ocean banging all night long. It's not as beautiful as you may think. And here I am back to the West Coast with the leaves falling. In Northern California, we have the London plane trees that were planted here in great numbers, and it's sort of, we have an autumn right now. The streets are very beautifully covered with leaves. And Teddy has a minor kennel cough, so they say, I don't believe there's such a thing as a kennel cough. They say it exists, but many strains of it. He looks better already with a piece of cheese and some roast beef and a hug. And I'm sitting in front of the screen. U.S. military sources, Iran has missing U.S. drone. That's great. You talk about an incompetent administration. I've never seen anything like this. The most top-secret spy plane that we have, the Iranians now have. Iran now has one of America's most advanced weapons, a super-secret spy plane whose stealth technology is the same as the drone used to monitor the compound during the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. And it's gone. The Iranians now have the RQ-170 drone. How did they get it? The Iranians say they shot it down. The U.S. says, oh, no, they didn't shoot it down. It had technical failure, and it landed. Could it be we have a, let's put it to you this way, I'm in counterintelligence, which probably doesn't exist in the Obama administration, someone who actually looks out for America. So someone's in counterintelligence and says, wait a minute, could it be possible that we hired a drone operator who is sympathetic to the Iranians and landed it in Iran for them? No, we can't think that, because that would be profiling, especially if they were of Arabic descent, or particularly if they were Iranian. You can't look into it that way, not if you're living in a country like insane America. The most advanced weapon we have is in the hands of the Iranians. I, Michael Savage, ask, if I was in counterintelligence, would it not be reasonable to take everyone who worked in that drone office and rubber hose them, put them in a dark room, deprive them of food, deprive them of water, bring in the most severe old-time FBI interrogators you could find, and if that doesn't work, bring in Sheriff Arpaio. Bring in whoever you have to bring in, but break him down and find out if we have a goddamn spy in there, a double agent. Oh, but that would be a violation of the Obama administration's gentler, kinder military, wouldn't it? So here we are now, sitting here like morons. We've lost the most advanced drone we have, and it's in the hands of Iran, and we're supposed to say, oh, big deal, ho-hum. What? Who's in the, who's winning the bowl? What bowl played this Sunday? What bowl is Tuesday? And what's the starlet doing tomorrow? And who did she puke on today? Obama urges Republicans to pass payroll tax cut. Oh, how exciting. Story number three, post office aims to save billions with reductions in workforce delivery time. That's reasonable. How about laying off everyone in the post office for about a decade? And see if that reduces the cost of the post office. It'll certainly reduce carbon emissions. as I've said to you, perhaps the most polluting machinery in the United States are the old postal trucks. The pollution from the postal truck precedes the truck before it arrives at my mailbox. I hear it like three blocks away, and it chugs up, and the black smoke hits me in the face before I get the mail. Supreme Court to review case of man arrested for touching Dick Cheney. I don't even want to go there. I do not even want to talk about that story. Supreme Court to review case of man arrested for touching Dick Cheney. You know, that unto itself would be the title of a good movie called Touching Dick Cheney. No, that's a good movie title, Touching Dick Cheney. A chance encounter with Vice President Dick Cheney at a shopping center in Colorado allowed Stephen Howard to express a disgust with the Iraq War and touch Cheney on the shoulder. It also led to Howard's arrest by Secret Service agents. 5 years later, Howard's claimed that the agents did not detain him because of his criticism of the subject of a lawsuit the Supreme Court could hear. So the Supreme Court today that they will review a federal appeals court decision to allow Stephen Howard of Golden, Colorado to pursue his claim that the arrest violated his free speech rights. So there's that one. The administration says that the office is responsible for protecting the president and vice president have to make quick decisions. I agree with them. They should not be allowed to touch Dick Cheney. First of all, who would want to touch Dick Cheney? He could be catching. That's number one. But number two, that they shouldn't be allowed near him. I mean, if you're a bodyguard and you're protecting a vice president, no one should be able to touch him. If they could touch him, it means they could hurt him. So I agree that they had every right to stop him and not no pat on shoulder. That's what a bodyguard does. They don't get close enough to tap on the shoulder. That's all. So that's an interesting case, actually. Now he's suing. Mr. Moron Howards, I suggest you stop your case soon, or you're liable to be invited on a hunting expedition with Dick Cheney. Only you'll be the only member of the hunting party. 1-800-449-825. That was cute, Jerry Lewis. Thank you for joining me on the Savage Nation, and we'll see you at the Muscular Dystrophy Lessathon. Why don't we start drilling in America? Why don't we just start drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and drilling all over the United States, drill offshore, do horizontal drilling? We could have so much money. We could be a net exporter of oil. We could tell the Arabs to take their sand and, you know, turn it into a hookah. Take your sand and put it in a hookah. We don't need you anymore. Why? Why? Why?
Savage.
Well, my dog, Teddy, won't let me go. He just won't leave me alone. He wants to be in my arms. Teddy, go away from all of the computers down there. So here's the story. I mean, you know, I'm joking around here, but it's no joke. Our most advanced weapon, a super secret spy plane, is now in the hands of Iran. So you say, well, how'd they get a thing like this? The Iranians say they shot it down. However, the U.S. says they didn't shoot it down. So let's believe that the U.S. is telling the truth, that the Iranians did not shoot it down. So what? It just fell down into the Iranians' hands? Could it be that we have a counter, a double agent inside the drone operation unit or whatever it's called of the U.S. Air Force? After all, Obama has made diversity a more important element of the U.S. military than the weapons themselves. In fact, every division of the U.S. government must look like America rather than look like a competent bureaucracy. And so therefore, it doesn't matter if the individual is a spy or an incompetent or a moron. As long as it looks good on a brochure and the bean counters of race, the race bean counters can say we have X of these, Y of these, Z of these, A of these, and B of these. That's fine. And by the way, since we're firing these drones at Pakistan, I want you to hire some Pakistanis to work inside the drone office to show that we really don't have any fears about a Pakistanis, nor do we hold any grudges. And I want him to be someone with a big beard, an extremely religious Islamic individual, to work inside the U.S. Air Force drone office to show that we ourselves are not at war with Islam, and in fact, we love this religion of peace. Is that possible? Of course it's possible. In fact, if I were a counterintelligence agent in the Office of Naval Intelligence, I'd be looking into this. But my suspicion is that since we live in a time that is quite strange, this will not be a line of investigation. That is my suspicion. New York, WOR, Tom, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, you know, it's not a big deal because I'll tell you why. You know, if you look at any aircraft modeling magazine, you'll see helicopters and aircraft that have the latest electronics and the best flying ability of the craft. So, you know, in war, you're always going to lose airplanes and missiles and things like that.
Oh, wait, this is the most super secret spy plane that we have. It's so advanced that the U.S. Air Force has not distributed even a photo of it. You understand that, right?
Well, they probably got plans already on this whole thing because it's...
I just said something that's different than what you said. Military sources are confirming that the RQ-170 drone, which went down in Iran, is so advanced that the U.S. Air Force has not even distributed even a photo of it. Doesn't that worry you?
No, because I was in the service, and that stuff is obsolete as soon as the troops have it, you know? I worked on the...
But this is the most advanced weapon that we have. It's not a third or fourth, old generation drone. It's something no one's ever seen.
Well, it's like...
And by the way, and Tom, its picture has never been published.
Well, the people have found it probably like a monkey with the football. They don't know what to do with this stupid thing, you know?
Oh, you mean the Iranians are so stupid they wouldn't know what to do with our most advanced weapon?
Exactly. They're not that smart.
Tom, are you sure you didn't work for the Obama administration?
No. They're still running around in bedclothes all day long. Are you kidding me? You know?
Tom, you're underestimating the first rule of warfare, whether it be the kid who you're going to have a fist fight with in the public school in the Bronx or the Iranians. Never underestimate your enemy, Tom. You know that if you're an ex-military guy.
Yeah, I'm a combat vet, too, so I know all about it.
So you know that underestimating your enemy is going to get you killed.
Well, you never underestimate anybody. But
Tom, I'm not talking you down. I'm not talking down to you, Tom. The Iranians, you must remember, derive from the Persian lineage. The Persian society was perhaps the most advanced of its time. That is to say that we should expect some of the most brilliant minds on the planet to be in Iran right now. They're not all living in Los Angeles. Running a car dealership, Tom.
Well, when I was in Africa.
All right, that's all. This is, I don't understand people. Whatever Obama does, no matter how he screws up, the guy said, don't worry about it. This is the most advanced weapon we have, a super secret spy plane whose stealth technology is so advanced that the Air Force has never published a photo of it. The Iranians have it, and it's not been shot down according to the U.S., so therefore, how did they get it? Tell me how they got it. Well, it could be that there was a malfunction. That's certainly possible. We don't have to be paranoid about everything that happens just because we have a bunch of nincompoops running the country, a bunch of overeducated idiots from the worst universities in America sitting there with mice, you know, in front of computers in Tallahassee having fun thinking that it's a game. Woo! And when's the diversity training? Oh, wait, let me get one more shot in. Is the diversity training coming up soon? This is what we have now in the military. We have people, basically, who are pencil-pushing morons who should never have been in the military, who are not designed to be in the military, who have no warrior spirit, who have no patriotism, who are sitting there with mice playing computer games in Tallahassee, reporting to some degenerate general who's looking for his next contract. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. And I've never even been in one of those places. And I can tell you I'm as right about this as I was about the Arab winter. I can guarantee you I'm right. Illinois, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Obama has sunk it so low that they can't even get an idea from a movie like Mission Impossible and make it self-destruct. You know, my God, they don't have a button on it.
You mean, in other words, this top secret drone should have self-destructed if it went down, right?
Oh my God, yes. That's Mission Impossible 101.
Therefore, Michael's paranoid suspicion that it did not go down by accident, but that there's possibly a double agent inside the Air Force who sent it to Iran and glided it in so that his friends in Tehran could disassemble it and reconstruct it. Is that not a possibility? Let's say, is it a possibility?
You got it. Hit the nail on the head, Mike.
Let's just say this. For all of you who've lost the ability to use your brains because you've been raised in the communist school system where they teach you groupthink, don't think, just listen, and repeat after me, okay? That's what they teach you? You lost the ability to think the way I was taught to think from my father on through the school system? Think for yourself and think of what I'm just saying to you. Is it at least a possibility that we have a spy inside the Air Force who purposely landed a full full, perfect-shaped copy of this, meaning a model of it, into Iran so that his friends could get a hold of it. Is it a possibility? Well, of course. It's a logical possibility. I didn't say it happened. So any counterintelligence agency worth a dime, let alone trillions of dollars of wasted money, would immediately lock down that unit that was in charge of that drone, lock it down, and sweat everybody in it. You sweat them. I don't care if it's after New Year's. I don't care if it's after Easter. Until someone breaks, you're not going to let them go home. And you're going to find out whether or not my suspicion is correct or not, because we have no room for error. We do not have room for error. We can't afford this anymore. This insanity of political correctness is killing us on every level. Every level. And most importantly, on national security, incidentally. So that's my suspicion, and it's one that I would certainly follow up. New York, Walter, WOR calling again on this issue of the drone that's down. What do you think?
Well, I think you're wrong, Michael. I think the most important part is the software back at the controller. I've built robots. I've built things that fly. Anybody can put together the things that make it go up in the air, make it drop its bombs and stuff like that. It's the software that the military uses to go after the targets, which is so valuable, and that's sitting back.
All right. Now, well, let's take your statement and run it with each other logically, and you're going to put me at ease that there is no spy. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, the RQ-170, right? At least you've read about it like I have.
Yes.
Okay. One of America's most sophisticated weapons, a super-secret spy plane that is so secret that a picture of it has never been published by the Air Force. Does that not tell you that this is something unique?
Yeah, it may be unique, Michael, but it's still just wire and parts. And believe me, it's the software that makes that thing so deadly.
I understand. Now, this drone, are you aware, did not have any weapons on it?
It's probably just an observation drone.
Okay, it's an observation drone. So let's go to your very calming statement that it's the software back in Tallahassee, if that's where it's run, that's really important.
That is what is most important. That's what.
All right. So the software, but the software is connected to hardware. Is that correct?
It is connected to the hardware. That's correct.
All right. So I'm a little concerned that. Wait a minute. So the software operates the hardware. Would it not be of great value for our enemies to have the hardware and then reverse engineer the software?
Well, you can imagine, Michael, all that's encrypted and it'll never be broken. It'll take a million years to break the encryption on that.
Well, now let's go to the next step. It was built by Lockheed Martin's Advanced Development Programs. Okay?
Okay.
Is it not possible that there's a double agent inside Lockheed Martin's Advanced Development Programs?
Oh, it's possible, but if I'm going to give it a percentage point, I would say 1 out of 100, it's 0.1.
Okay, but... Well, I wouldn't say it's 0.1, not under Obama. I would have said it would have been 0.1 under Eisenhower, but I would say under Obama it's more like 10% rather than 0.1. You know and I know that there's a mandate inside the Obama administration to diversify every aspect of this government, including the military. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's incorrect.
What do you mean it's incorrect?
It's incorrect, Michael.
Well, wait, you're making a categorical statement that it's incorrect. It's policy of the Obama administration.
It's
to make every department be as diverse as possible.
Michael, all you got to do is look at all the military successes we've had recently.
Now you're changing the subject, but leads me to believe that you're actually sending out this information on this radio show. You're not answering the question. When were you last in the military? I'm just curious.
When was I in the military? I was never in the military.
Well, I'm sorry, but you said you developed these things.
I didn't say I developed them, but I built robots, though.
You built robots, but not for the military.
Yeah, I build robots, Michael.
Okay, that's fine. That means you're a very brilliant man. Fine. But are you as aware as I am of the mandates of this administration?
Yes, I am aware of them, and you're 100% wrong.
How can I be 100% wrong? Nobody's 100% wrong.
You're 99% wrong. I'm sorry.
You see, if you were really a scientist, you wouldn't be making such a categorically impossible statement. No one is 100% wrong. No one's 100% wrong. Even Obama's not 100% wrong.
But you're certainly not even near 100% right with that statement. I don't
but
believe that a person...
Walter, I study this for a living. I research these things for a living. I write these things for a living. I am not creating this out of whole cloth. The Obama administration has a major league mandate in every department of this government to diversify as quickly as possible along the lines of race and nationality. You know that, irrespective of the quality of the individual being hired.
Okay, Michael, look over what's happened over the last couple of years since he's been in office. Would you say he's expediting the war or he's hurting the war?
Which war?
The war on terror.
Going Which war on terror? You mean the war on terror that he won't fight? You mean the war on terror that the FBI refused to the war on terror that the FBI refused to engage in as near as 2 weeks ago when the New York Police Department had to arrest the would-be terrorist? Is that the war on terror you're referring to?
How is he not fighting the war on terror? He killed a...
I just answered you. Apparently, you didn't hear me. 2 weeks ago, the New York Police Department arrested a Muslim American who was plotting a terrorist attacks with pipe bombs. The FBI refused to even get involved in the investigation or arrest. Are you aware of that one?
Well, that's the FBI's call, I guess, huh, isn't it?
Well, wait, hold on, sir. Who does the FBI report to?
Reports to the Justice Department, I assume.
That's correct. And who is that? That's Eric Holder, who works for who? Obama.
Right.
So you answered my question. The answer is he's not conducting the war on terror at all. Not in the least. Not in the least. Look what he's just done in the Arab Crescent. Would you argue that bringing about this revolution across the Arab Crescent is going to be a positive thing for the area or a negative one?
Those two acts alone were the biggest military successes.
Again, you're not answering the question. You're talking about the war on terror, and I just said to you he won't even engage in it. That's number one. Number two, I'm asking you about the revolution in Egypt and the revolution in the Arab Crescent. Are you aware of what's going on there?
Saying he won't engage in the war on terror.
You're going back. You're not answering me. I am telling you that Obama will not engage in the war on terror. That's number one. And number two, I'm repeating what I just said to you until you finally hear me. How would you respond, as a brilliant engineer that you allegedly are, to the the issue going on in Egypt right now? Let's take Egypt.
Well, now you're changing the subject.
Well, you're talking about a war on terror, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. So would you say that what's going on? Would you say that what's going on in Egypt and in Libya, for example, would you say that that's part of the war on terror?
No,
it isn't.
That's the Egyptian people trying to work out their own government in their own way. And I'm glad.
Wait, hold on a minute. But who funded that revolution?
The Egyptian people.
You're wrong. You're talking out of your ears. Because it was released last week, and it's in my new book coming out in the spring, that Hillary Clinton's State Department spent $200 million fostering that election. It was not the Egyptian people. This came from do-gooders in the West, like yourself.
Michael, you are just running in circles.
No, you're not hearing a word I'm saying. You come into this with preconceived ideas that are false, my friend, and you won't even hear the proof to the contrary, nor will you relate to it. And I don't believe a word you just said to me. Just because you build robots doesn't mean that you know what you're talking about. I know a lot of scientists who are pretty brilliant in what they do, but big morons with regard to the bigger picture. And I'm afraid you fall into that category, sir. You're telling me that the software matters, and I then had to lead you to the fact that the software controls the hardware and that the enemy could get the hardware and reverse engineer the software? You know that's true.
And I told you that it can't happen because it's all encrypted, you moron.
Oh, now I'm a moron. I see, and only you're the genius. I'm 100% wrong, and the genius robot developer is the know-it-all now.
Moron. You're a liar and a moron.
Is there anything else you would like to say to the national audience, Walter?
Yeah, I'd like to say anybody that believes a word you say is as big a moron as you are. Good
Walter, let me ask you something. Walter, is there a book or a publication that you have authored that we should be aware of? Walter? Oh, Walter? Oh, Walter? Have they taken you back into the asylum, Walter? Have they taken back the quarter or the calling card? Okay, folks, I'll be right back. You know, know, it's amazing. I start out talking about one thing, and we wind up talking about another. I casually talk about the fact that U.S. military admits that Iran has the most top-secret missing U.S. drone. And a guy calls, and I say, isn't it possible if you were in counterintelligence that you would look into the fact that there might be a double agent inside the Air Force who purposely brought that drone down into Iranian hands? And he says, oh, no, you're 100% wrong. You're a moron. You're a this, you're a that. This is astounding to me, the ignorance of people on the other side of the aisle, how closed-minded they are to the possibilities of infiltration, let alone the realities of such. John in Sacramento, welcome. What do you think about my suspicion that this could be the case?
Well, I typically don't agree with you because I am on the other side of that aisle as a liberal, if you will, although I see myself as an independent. But nevertheless, I think that you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, we've been at war, some of the proxy war with Iran for a long time. The army bases that were just blew up over there, and all the sabotage that should be going on between us and that country leads me to believe that this is possibly, and this is just my theory, possibly our U.S. made drone, but probably was in the hands of the Israelis, and then when it was captured or landed or however the Iranians got it, I believe that the State Department could use a likely excuse to say that this was on operations over.
Well, wait, you agree with me that it's possible that there is a double agent inside the U.S. Air Force who could theoretically have done this on purpose?
I think it would be more likely that you would find that person acting on the Arab or the Israeli side. Because
what do you mean Israelis? It's a U.S. drone that was shot down in Iran or was landed there, and I'm saying we should have a counterintelligence agent investigate that unit.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's amazing to me how shows develop organically, to use an overly used phrase, and how you start in one place and wind up in another. And the audience usually takes the show where it ought to go to begin with, and the host, you know, lays out some ideas. And look where we wound up. I put out a number of stories, you know, how do you win an election, money, muscle, and you neutralize your opponent. I talked about the fact that I coined the phrase Arab Winter. It was picked up by Drudge without credit. And now it's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal without credit. I predicted the Arab winter. And then we talked about freeloader horror stories, relatives or friends, so to speak, who are into the take, 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 and give nothing back. And then I stumbled on this story about the drone. America's most advanced weapon, a U.S. drone, a super secret spy plane, that is so advanced that the U.S. Air Force has not distributed even a photograph of it, is now in the possession of the Iranians. The Iranians claim they shot it down. However, the U.S. is saying that the Iranians did not shoot down the spy plane. So I ask the question, who shall I believe? Well, I'm going to believe my country. I'm going to believe that my country is telling me the truth and that it was not shot down. So therefore, it begs the question, how did it wind up in the hands of the Iranians? The answer is, well, either some part broke, or the controller had to go to a diversity training break and had to put down the mouse, or there was a double agent inside the Air Force's drone unit who sent it on a silver platter, so to speak, to the Iranians so they could reverse engineer the software. So we've been arguing about this, and I'm saying if you have a legitimate counterintelligence agency operating in the U.S. government anymore, and I'm not so sure we do under this administration, if we still had the kind of hard-nosed old-timers that once peopled the CIA, the FBI, the Naval Investigation Arm, whatever that may be called, if we still had this type of individual, I can guarantee you they'd hose these people down in that unit until they got the answer to their satisfaction that there was or there was not any chance, a hint of a possibility that somebody purposely sent that drone in a silver platter to our enemies in Iran. But my contention is a big but, that under Obama, it's highly likely this is a possibility, number one, because of his obsession with the college mentality of diversity uber alles. And number two, I can almost guarantee you there's going to be no such investigation, because if there was, then the new KGB agents inside the governmental agencies would say, wait a minute, stop right there. You have no right to ask anyone of Iranian descent or of Pakistani descent or of Arabic-speaking background or Farsi-speaking who's working in there any of these questions, because it's called racial profiling. I can guarantee you as I stand here, someone who looks like, sounds like, and talks like Elena Kagan is sitting inside one of those agencies stopping an investigation like this. I can guarantee it as much as I tell you there are five fingers on my right hand and five fingers on my left hand and that my name is Michael Savage. I can guarantee you that's how far this nation has fallen. I can guarantee it. We are living in strange times. And times like this try a man's soul. I find it extremely difficult to do radio shows because if I get deadly serious, as I am doing today, it leads me to anguish of a level I cannot even describe to you. And so therefore I revert to my natural sense of joking around, my humor. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you actually think that there's no chance that there's an agent inside the Air Force who could have done this on purpose? That's number one. Of course it's a logical possibility. So if it's a logical possibility, the counterintelligence officers, if they still exist, they go into that unit, they lock it down, they don't let him out of that building. They bring him in food. I don't care what they bring him. I don't care if they bring him a hamburger or a falafel. I don't care what the holiday is. I don't care what the excuse is. They don't leave that building until they're broken, every last one of them, men and women. I don't care what you have to do until you bring in the most skilled interrogators known to this country. And you grill them in a way you could never imagine. I mean, it could be done anyway. Detectives knew how to do this years ago. Detectives know how to do it. In other words, if a secret gets out of an office, there are ways to find out how that leak occurred. There are very, very easy ways to do this. Don't tell me this can't be done without, I'm not saying revert to torture. You can do this without reverting to torture. You could probably break down half of these college kids without reverting to torture. It could have been as innocent as a Harvard graduate who simply thought that it was unfair that we had such technology and the Iranians didn't. It could have been that, couldn't it? Couldn't it have been an Anderson Cooper type working for the U.S. Air Force? Could have been that type, couldn't it? Or it could have been something all the way up to the other level of someone deeply planted in this nation from Iran or from Pakistan or God knows where who was eventually brought into that unit specifically to steal technology like this. Yes, it's a big deal. Yes, it's a big deal. This is one of the biggest disasters that I have seen yet, and I've seen a lot of them in the U.S. military under this administration. Now, of course, it will be swept under the rug by the useful Marxist idiots in the newspaper business and on television who will attack anyone who dares ask the question with name-calling. I don't care. I don't worry about name-calling. I can do it better than they can. But I'm telling you right now that we are owed an explanation. Let's take your calls. I want to see what you have to say. Now, I just posted the story from Fox News up on my website with my own unique headline. And the Fox News story is very intriguing, by the way. It's very well written. And their headline is this: U.S. military sources, Iran has missing U.S. drone. Very neutral. The Savage website headline, michaelsavage.com, is: did U.S. spy send drone to Iran? Why can't I ask that question? Do I live in a free country? Yes or no? Am I allowed to ask the question, or is that illegal now under the new administration? No questions possible except the ones they deem illegal and moral? Okay, I'm going to take your calls on this. I'd like to hear what you have to say about it. Sacramento, Charles, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I work daily on drone programs at an Air Force base, shoulder to shoulder with the U.S. Air Force, and I agree with you 100%.
You agree? Charles, sorry, you broke up. Are you there, Charles? Oh, my God. I swear to God, that gave me a chill up my... Did you hear that call? Beowulf, did you hear that call? I worked on drone programs on a U.S. Air Force base, shoulder to shoulder with... Really? Did Charles's phone just have a little pulse thrown at it by our friends in the administration? After all, you can't believe a word Michael Savage says. He's just a right-wing nut. Now, it's true he's written 25 books. He has a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. Oh, but you can't listen to him. Instead, listen to someone who's foaming at his lips on MSNBC who went to high school. Listen to somebody who foams at his lips who used to work for a Democrat socialist who works now for General Electric, which pays no taxes. That's who you should believe. Don't believe Michael Savage. Well, as they say, you can decide who you listen to or you can figure it out yourself. Use your own head. Use your own head. I'm right. I'm 100% right. I didn't say that it was a spy, did I? All I'm saying is it could be a spy and there should be counterintelligence. And if I lived in a government that had faith in it, it would say, we are investigating. We are not leaving a stone unturned to find out how this happened. We want you, the American people, to know that we are as concerned as you are, and we're not going to cover this up the way we did the machine guns to Mexico. If you remember that story that got swept under the rug by the vermin at the New York Times. Georgia, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. First of all, I'd like to say it's quite an honor to be talking to you. I've been a listener of your show for a few years now. And
thank you.
I thank you for everything that you do for us. I'm glad that we have someone out there who will tell the truth candidly and, you know, the way that I wish every format of media would do in this country. But thank you because you do plenty for us, and we appreciate that.
I do appreciate your call. So tell me your background and what you think.
Well, sir, I spent 6 years in the United States Army, active duty military intelligence. And I was listening to some of your earlier callers about this drone situation, and I completely agree with you. The anything can be reverse engineered. I mean, we've been doing it all the time. I mean, all it takes is someone with the competence in electrical engineering.
Let's go backwards. I had a guy who says he developed. Robots say I was crazy because all that matters is the software, and the software is here in America, and that the drone has nothing in it. Then I had to remind him that the software controls the hardware, and if the Iranians get the hardware, they can reverse engineer the software. You're confirming that I'm correct.
That is correct.
And I'm not an engineer, mind you. I'm just classically trained in logic and scientific method, let's put it to you that way, and it doesn't take Einstein to figure out that I'm correct in what I surmise. So, okay, given that that's a possibility, not a fact, is it also possible that the Iranians planted a double agent inside the U.S. Air Force's drone unit? Could that have happened?
Well, that's absolutely possible. I mean, history has shown us that that's happened before. We've had many cases of double agents. It's just, you know, when the Cold War went out, so did everyone's concern for that type of thing. And in the type of administration that we have now, you're not going to, like you said, there's the diversity in the bureaucracy of the military and the Department of Defense, and it's all about the way.
Correct. It's more about diversity than it is about national security. It's more important that these units look like an American college campus than they look like a U.S. military unit, and that's what I'm talking about. Well, thank you for confirming common sense, Michael. Let me send you a copy of Abuse of Power, where Jack Hatfield, the main character, knows something about being smeared for telling the truth. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I talk about the sad state of the mental state of America, and I found a story in the LA Times the other day. Internet usage. Most under 30 are wasting time. The web is mostly a time killer, according to a new study. So no matter how sophisticated the young lady may look, or no matter how handsome the young man may look, no matter how well-dressed they are, basically, they are functional morons. They are illiterate with regard to politics. They are political illiterates. They haven't any idea what country they're living in because the country has been dissolved in their lifetime. There are no longer any concepts of border, language, and culture. They have, if they're college educated, they're even in worse shape. They haven't any idea the danger they are in, the danger of losing everything. And what I mean by everything is their freedom itself. We're very close to losing our freedom itself. What the heck do I mean by freedom itself? I can't write a book for you in 1 minute. I'm working on yet another book in my long sequence of books, trying to warn America, awaken America. The next one is Trickle Down Tyranny. It'll be out in March or April from Harper's, who published The Trickle Up Poverty. Oh, how clever. Yeah, that guy writes clever books. Clever? Just clever, huh? Well, you go read Trickle Down Poverty, and you read the chapter on the Wall Street meltdown, and you'll see how clever it is, since I name names and told you it was all orchestrated and it was done to elect Obama. And I'm telling you as I sit here, when I entitle the book Trickle Down Tyranny, I know what I'm talking about. This is the most tyrannical president in American history. And unless he is defeated in 2012, we're finished. There's no way the country can survive 4 more years of this petty tyrant. And I'm telling you that the Republicans are throwing the election as well. I'm telling you that. I can see it from a mile away. Whether I'm right about that or wrong about that almost doesn't matter. Let's say it's just the ranting of a lunatic that the Republicans would do such a thing. Oh, they couldn't fix the World Series? Well, ask Arnold Rothstein's relatives whether he fixed the 1919 World Series or whatever the year was. Oh, no, they couldn't fix the World Series. You could never get all those ball players to throw a game. No! You couldn't get a heavyweight to throw a fight. You couldn't fix a World Series, and you couldn't fix an election. What else couldn't be done? Tell me what else could not be possibly done. Well, I told you I watch a show on TV called The Boss with Kelsey Grammer. It's fantastic, and it's about a Chicago mayor, a boss based, I guess, loosely on Daley. And he channeled an actor whose name Orson Welles in the most amazing way. I'm really a fan of Kelsey Grammer now. And they ask him, how do you win an election? He says, money, he said, the way it's always been done, he says, money, muscle, and you neutralize your opponent. Then I ask myself, is this what Obama's machine is now doing? They've got unlimited money. They've got unlimited muscle in terms of the street that they control. First, they destroy all the other marginal candidates, which wasn't too hard to do when it came to some of them. Then Kane suddenly surges, and they went after him tooth and claw. They got rid of him. Now, all of a sudden, they get the marshmallow out of nowhere. The roasted marshmallow, they give him a spray paint with a little white out, and there he is again. The toasted marshmallow is back to life. Newt Gingrich, the dream for America, the plan for America, the savior of America, the salvation of America. This insider hack, this lobbyist, is suddenly held up by so-called conservatives as the hope for America. I couldn't believe what I'm reading. People who I normally thought were intelligent, and I respect, oh, he's this, and he's the Winston Churchill now of our time, and this and that, he's got baggage. Are you kidding me? This guy is throwing the election for the Democrats as sure as I'm standing here. That's my viewpoint. Say, well, wait a minute now. Slow down, Mike. How could you say Newt Gingrich is involved with the Democrats? Well, let's start with the ad for global warming that he did with Hillary Clinton. Let's start with that one. But that's one in a long line of crossing over the aisle as a compromiser. It's not an outlying principle. It's the inlying principle, him and Hillary Clinton. That's how it works. He is the ultimate insider. Newt Gingrich is the ultimate compromiser. Newt Gingrich is the ultimate corrupt politician. Newt Gingrich stands for nothing. He believes in nothing. He's just glib. He's a great salesman. Don't you understand that? So you say, well, what could he get out of a thing like this if he threw the election and ruined it for Romney? Well, choices are unlimited. The choices are unlimited. The lobbying, the lobbying, the contracts. You haven't any idea what's at stake, do you? So you say, well, where's Romney in all of this? I don't know. Where's Waldo? Where's Waldo Romney? Find Waldo Romney and see where he stands in anything.
Savage.
So one of the reasons I cut this trip short is because my little boy Teddy, the dog, had some kind of cough. They took him to the vet. So you know where he is now? I swear to God, he won't leave my side as I'm on the radio. He must have missed the radio show. After all, he's been with me for 7 years. He's missed hardly any of the shows. He is on my broadcast desk. He is sniffing the keyboard for my Telos call screening system. He's looking at the stories on michaelsavage.com. He was licking the mic muff. He's looking at the screen. It's almost like he wants to pick a caller. I swear to God. It's like he's looking at the call screen and saying, huh, should I take the guy from New York or Texas? It's like he wants to hit the key. He's wearing his little checked suit. Okay, honey, ready to go to the cat? Okay, I'll keep talking. So, you know what it is? Animals need their, what's the word for it, what people get into? Just any person. Routines. And I believe, you know, he got emotionally upset while I was gone because his routine was broken. I mean, he was cared for by a beautiful person. Hello, you give me a big face. And his routine was shot. He didn't see the Telos screen. He didn't hear me screaming. He didn't see me laughing. He didn't hear my voice. So he got upset and he got sick. You know, it's all about chi energy. You know about disease? Okay, there's a germ theory of disease, which is certainly valid. But let me tell you something. As a person who's more than casually observed disease for over four decades, or is it longer than that? There's a lot more to disease and health than merely the germ theory of disease. There's, as you well know, a psychological component, an emotional component, and of course the mysterious factor or factors that we don't know about. As my first professor in grad school told me, a medical doctor, he said, Michael, look, he said, you know, you're really obsessed with the whole heart disease thing because your dad died young and grand. He said, but I've done an awful lot of autopsies where people were dead and their arteries were perfectly clear. They had died from heart attacks. Now, that really sent me, you know, on my heels thinking for many, many years about the mysterious elements in illness. And then the years I spent in the islands, in some really incredibly deep island work. When I say Fiji, I don't mean the tourist post of Fiji. I'm talking about islands in the Fijis where witchcraft was practiced. And I'm not saying I'm an expert in this. I'm not into witchcraft. But these people were. There's an island group there. And I got to know some of these people. I saw things happen with card readings that you would never believe. You have to have experienced it to know the predictions were true and that they happened. And I don't want to repeat myself. But nevertheless, there are elements to our health and to our illness, whether it be us or our dogs, that are mysterious. Okay? And that's the other dimensions that we should all be aware of. Now, let's get pragmatic now. Go back to the three dimensions of politics. There's the Democrat dimension. There's the Republican dimension. There's the independent dimension. Those we know about. There's the media dimension with all of its deceits, okay? Well, then there are other dimensions. There are the bankers who control the currencies. That's that dimension. But then beyond the bankers, there may be yet another level controlling the bankers. And I don't mean extraterrestrials. I'm talking about another level of control that we can't even see. We don't even know where the curves are, if they're even curved. We don't even know if the curves are curved. I mean, let's put it to you this way. One of the ancient Greek philosophers, and I believe it was Plato, wrote about the shadows on the wall, where he said people, meaning in ancient Greece, who were curious about what was going on in reality, thought that they knew what was going on, but all they saw were the shadows on the wall. They didn't even know what the actors were doing. And I believe that's the reality that we live in, which is why I named the show The Savage Nation. It was based upon the concept of Plato's Republic, going back 16, 17, 18 years now, however long it may be. Yes, The Savage Nation is built upon the concept of shadows on the wall, which is about all we all see at all times, or most of the time. And I'm telling you now, if we get down to this simple story that we're talking about, all we're looking at are shadows on the wall. So we hear that one of our most advanced one of our most advanced spy planes, let's call it that, a drone, the most advanced, it's so advanced that a picture of it was never published by the Air Force, is missing and Iran has it. Most advanced, sophisticated weapon is in Iranian hands. The Iranians say they shot it down. The U.S. Air Force says, oh, no, they didn't shoot it down. So I believe my government. Okay, they didn't shoot it down. Oh, really? So how'd they get it? What, a malfunctioning software, malfunctioning hardware? Possible. But I'm bringing up a third possibility. Was there a spy inside the U.S. Air Force drone unit, whatever they may call it, who delivered this top-secret weapon on a silver platter to the Iranians? I mean, it's a logical question, isn't it? And then we were talking about something as prosaic earlier on about freeloaders in your life. Freeloaders. What's a freeloader? freeloader. Let's go to New York. Is George better than Sam, guys? Is that why 10 is lit? Okay, George, welcome to the Savage Nation. We're getting away from the heady issue of national security. We're talking about freeloaders. Tell us your story.
Okay, good evening, and it's an honor to speak to you, Dr. Savage. I've been
That's very nice of you, but I do it for a living, and I'm not that frail of ego that I need to be told it's an honor, but thank you anyway.
Okay, how about a 30-year mooch?
Oh, I love it. Yes, mooch. A moke, yes. A mooch, a freeloader, a bum. Tell me about this 30-year mooch. Who is it?
He works in a junkyard rubbish collection center out in Suffolk County, and no matter what my family does, we live in Nassau in Queens, he always manages to show up wearing his job for dinners, birthday parties, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Wait, what do you mean wearing his job? I don't quite follow that.
He doesn't change his clothes.
Oh, my God. Oh, is he a relative?
No. He's actually an ex-lover of my sister-in-law's, and she keeps dragging him around.
But he wears, dirty clothing from the junkyard?
Yes.
Ugh.
And he never brings nothing to the house.
Never brings a cake. In other words, no matter what the occasion, doesn't walk in with a cake. Look, you're from New York, so I could have a conversation with you that may or may not be understood by many. It's well known in New York from a certain generation that you never show up at a person's house if you're invited, even for a coffee, without bringing something. Am I right?
Exactly.
In my generation, if someone came over to my parents' house, they brought something in a box, a little cake, a little this, a little that, to show some, I don't know what it was, conviviality, some respect for the fact that they were invited over and it has meaning, to give the visit some meaning, to show that they had self-respect, in other words. But today that's out the window, George. I don't know that it's that man alone. I don't know anyone who does that anymore.
Oh, here's the piece de resistance. He manages to leave with a massive doggy bag. In his pocket, in a bag, and everything. And it's not like he's unemployed. He makes good money.
Oh, so it's another one of them. He actually makes good money.
Yeah, he was invited.
But he's just a major league mooch. He takes home like the turkey for 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a minor case, George, in many ways. It's troublesome and a pain in the neck, but it's a minor mooch, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but I stopped it. I won't tell you how, but I stopped it.
Well, no, that's the best part of the call. How'd you stop it?
Well, let's just say innuendo to my sister-in-law.
You mean you finally told her enough is enough? Don't bring the mooch around? He stinks?
That plus I would tell her husband.
Oh, who he was.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so in other words, this guy was being invited. You were the beard for your sister-in-law.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, this is good. You know, but George, you know what's beautiful about human behavior? It's complicated and very interesting. I'll never forget what I read about 30 years ago. There was a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, and someone asked him something about how do atoms work or something like that. And he answered in a very clever way. He said, what goes on inside between atoms is about as complex as what goes on between humans. I thought that was the most brilliant answer I'd ever heard in my life.
Can I say just two quick things? My best to Teddy. I hope he feels better. And one thing about the drone, maybe a rich kid gave a poor kid a toy to play with, and they messed up.
Yeah, right, sure.
You know what I mean.
Well, I'm not a rich kid, nor am I a poor kid, but I'm a radio kid, and I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power because you're such a delight. You know, one of my new advertisers, I shouldn't say it, then all of them are going to get mad, is Pine Brothers Cough Drops. And I think I'm going to give Teddy a Pine Brothers tonight. No, they sent me a carton of them, and I was like crazy. I was coming back from Florida. I was giving out packets of Pine Brothers to everyone, baggage handlers. The pilot got a Pine Brothers. I don't know what. I said, I got to give him one to the dog tonight. Maybe he'll feel better in the morning. Oh, I remember taking them as a kid. Now I'm about to have a cup of tea because I feel a sore throat coming on. It's not that I'm channeling Arthur Godfrey, but I loved Arthur Godfrey as a kid. I know. Now I'm going to hear some nasty, oh, you loved Arthur Godfrey. He was this. Did you know he didn't? He was a wife beater. He beat his dog. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't care what he did. Who cares? He was great on the radio, wherever he was. I liked him. I liked his freckles. Florida, Robin, we have another freeloader call. I got such good callers now about infiltrating the unit, the drone unit. You know, it's a very big deal, folks. It's a very big deal. The drone unit is a big deal. And the U.S. government, if it really cared about our stability, our mental stability, you know what it would be saying today? You know what Leon Panetta would be saying? Instead of attacking Israel, which Leon Panetta just did, where he said to Israel, just get to the damn table. Leon Panetta is perhaps the most poorly placed defense secretary in American history. Absolutely not qualified for this job. But he's one in a long line of such under the Obama administration. They shuffled the man around from the CIA, where he was not qualified, where they investigate CIA agents. You hear this? The man was in charge of the CIA when they were investigating CIA agents who did their job too well. Now they put him into the Defense Department while they're cutting the defense spending to a point of almost no return. Do you know that our Navy, I read the other day, and I can't confirm it at this time, is smaller than it's been since 1932? Did you hear what I just said to you? We have the smallest number of warships than we have had since 1932. This is while China is building a new Navy aircraft carrier. We have the smallest Navy since 1932. So people say, well, Obama's like Carter. You're wrong. Obama is a combination of Neville Chamberlain, Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, and perhaps a few others that I can string together if I was really in the mood. And I'll remind you of something else, if I may, since I'm on this particular subject of the U.S. Navy. I'm a member of the U.S. Navy League, which is a civilian support group. We do what we can to bring to the public eye the wonderful work that the U.S. Navy does or used to do or still can do, especially with the SEALs. God knows, when you go aboard a ship, it's like being in an inner-city high school. It's a nightmare. I know I shouldn't say it, but go take a trip aboard a U.S. Navy ship and see what's going on below the decks with the pregnancies and the gangs. And go speak to some of the sailors about what's going on that the Navy won't tell you about because of the insanity about diversity. Go ask them. You want me to rip the lid off what's going on in your Navy? That there are portions of dark decks at night that officers will not walk on? They're like inner-city streets because they're afraid of being iced by a gang member on a Navy ship. Did you hear about that one? Well, you just did. You just did. You see, I'm a guy who I listen to people. They come up and talk to me. I don't even know who they are sometimes. I go aboard a ship during a fleet week, and I hear people tell me things that I remember. I never repeat names. It's unimportant who the names are. There are areas on the decks of certain ships that naval officers will not go on at night for fear for their lives, because gangs roam freely on our ships the way they do in our city streets. Okay, I'll stop right there. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here's the thing. We're talking about the capture of the U.S. spy drone. We don't know whether they actually have it. We don't know what shape it's in. I'm asking some significant questions that deserve answers. I'm saying if we still had a real counterintelligence service, and I pray to God we do, they would be grilling people inside the unit to make certain that there's no double agent who delivered this drone on a silver platter to the Iranians. That would be the first thing I would do. I mean, you got to stop the potential damage, don't you? Why do you assume it couldn't be? What do you live in, a college world? Well, you think all the boys and girls are just nice people who want government jobs because they love the playing with technology? Are you people nuts? You need to grill them. You need to hose them down. You need to sweat them, in other words, until they break or someone in that unit breaks and starts to talk about what may have happened or may not have happened. You need to clear the air. That's number one. Then I get a caller who says to me, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. He says he developed robots, and I don't know what I'm saying because it's only the software that matters, not the hardware. And I tell him, logic would dictate that you're wrong, that the hardware could be used to reverse engineer the software. And, of course, what I'm trying to get at is, even though I'm not a technical guy, my training is in the biological sciences, after all, not in the physical sciences, but I have... I've had a classical education. I'm very lucky in that regard. Going back to college, I had a classical education in logic and scientific method. So it's how you approach a question that matters, not whether or not you know the answer going in. So my logic has turned out to be correct. I'm going to give you an example. First of all, I knew I was right just because I could figure it out. This just came out minutes ago out of England, Telegraph UK. Iran capture of U.S. spy drone would be significant blow to military. Iran could deal a significant blow to the U.S. military if it has captured a top-secret American spy drone, allowing Tehran to counter or copy the highly classified technology, experts have warned. So here's an example of Michael Savage again, giving you the best possible analysis of a subject that you're going to get in the media, period. And the article says, the seizure of the unarmed surveillance drone intact would give access to a treasure trove of classified info, including the designs of the aircraft and its payload of sensors. However, it was unlikely the drone had escaped the crash or being shot down without significant damage, and its sensitive technology was probably rigged with self-destruct mechanisms, experts added, but they can't be sure. NATO forces confirmed the drone went missing in Afghanistan near the Iranian border last week, though would not say what kind it was. Jane's International says the RQ-170 Sentinel, made by Lockheed Martin, was one of the most secret drone programs in the world and had reportedly taken part in the operation which killed OBL. Uh-huh. Now, I'll tell you why this bothers me and why it bothers me very deeply. Soon after the Navy SEALs took out Osama bin Laden, do you remember what happened to 21 or so Navy SEALs? Does anyone in America still remember this, or are we so bad as a nation that we've forgotten our fallen heroes? Do you remember what happened? They were sent on an old, slow-flying Chinook helicopter into a mission, and that helicopter was allegedly shot down with an RPG, an unsophisticated RPG, brought down an old Chinook helicopter. It killed all 21 or 22 SEALs and Army Rangers, and some collateral forces that were additional forces, coalition forces that were traveling in that helicopter. It was the single biggest loss of Navy SEALs in American history, all under the watch of the great commander-in-chief, Barack Hussein Ogulfer. Barack Hussein Ogulfer, or one of his dumb factotums in the Defense Department who should be tried for crimes against the SEALs, authorized putting all of those boys into a single Chinook helicopter and flying them into a death zone? Why didn't they use fast helicopters? Why didn't they use three helicopters, as they allegedly had done in the Osama bin Laden raid? Why did they put them in one slow-flying helicopter and fly them into a hot zone like that? Did somebody do that on purpose to pay back, as payback, for having killed Osama bin Laden? Is there a double agent in the military and in the U.S. Air Force somewhere in particular who is now operating for the other team? I don't know. I'm a man alone with a microphone. What do I know? All I do is figure things out and write books, and sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm not right. Sometimes people think I'm right and sometimes people think I'm wrong. But I'm a free-thinking American who asks questions. Isn't that what we were trained to do? Isn't that what I was taught to do by my liberal professors way back when? Think for myself, use your head, apply logic, put two and two together. Isn't that what a great American mind is supposed to do? Think for himself? I think so, unless it's now illegal under Janet Napolitano. It could be that thinking for yourself is now considered a state crime. It could be that using logic itself is now suspicious. It could be that anything that is deemed to be patriotic is now considered to be suspect in the new America under Osama bin Ghalfa. Or is it Barack Hussein Ghalfa? I've never seen anything like this. The SEALs die. So far as I know, there was never an investigation. Nobody in the Defense Department was punished for this. Who made that decision? Who made the decision to put the SEALs in a slow-flying Chinook helicopter and have them fly into a war zone like that, resulting in their deaths? Who in the military made that decision? Is there a U.S. senator who can answer that question? Is there a Senate Intelligence Committee that's not run by a corrupt, double-dealing traitor of the lowest order? I'd like to tell you what I think of all of them, but I can't.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage. Michael Savage, on the microphone, he will do damage to all the fools, he will just ravage.
I've been talking about a lot of different things. I mean, the sandwiches. How could you arrest parents? Let's say they even stole a sandwich, for argument's sake. Let's take, again, it's like the Herman Cain thing. Let's say he did say to one of the women, you're cute. Man, you're good looking. So what? So what? What world do you live in? That's the biggest crime of the century? How about the crimes Obama has committed every day and no one's talking about it? To throw mud in your eye, you idiots, you. So the couple goes and they buy $50 worth of goods and they pay for it and they forget to pay for two sandwiches. And they call the cops at Safeway, the dumb security guard. Maybe he had no choice. Maybe that's Safeway's policy. No matter what you shoplift, maybe they were tired of being ripped off. Shouldn't there be some discernment somewhere? Somewhere along the way they say, look, two sandwiches. Okay, they meant to pay for it. They didn't. They did pay for $50 worth of groceries. They took their child away. But I don't want to talk about it. What are you going to say? That I'm right, I'm wrong, you agree with me, it's outrageous. It's pointless. Let's talk instead about the sex cells. And so we know that the bums in the parks of America with the Occupy movements are basically there for the drugs and the sex, and they have nothing to do with their lives. They're unemployable, and they're unemployed because they're unemployable. They're unemployable because of their attitudes. Their attitudes and their lack of training. They have nothing that they have anyone needs. They have no product or service that anybody in the world wants. There's nothing to do with corporate America. It has to do with the fact that they either they went to school and studied something no one needs, or they never went to school. That's all. So now they're rutting in the tents like mink in heat, and now they're all testing for AIDS, HIV, and other STDs before they go home to mommy with the sniffles. What they should have learned is what my mother said. Sex is dirty, especially if you're laying in a tent with a stranger. What do you expect to happen? What do you expect is going to come out of it? Something good? And so years ago, Beowulf, what is the date of that call, of my mother's call? Do you have a date on it? I wish we did. 2003. So my mother was about 85 at the time. She passed a few years after that, and I called her at her the facility in Florida. I'll never forget as long as I lived. And she set me up, you know. She really was smart, and she had a sense of timing that was astounding. And she caught me, the wise guy talk show host, off guard. Listen to this cut from Mama Savage and Michael on the No Sex. Listen.
What do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
No sex. Well, that in San Francisco is a sin, what you just said, because these people
right.
believe that the more is better.
Right, let's stop right there. It's very funny. It's she set me up. She set me up. She had a sense of timing. She always had. She should have been in show business, my mother. But she was burdened with life's problems. She didn't have a chance. So here I am. Here I am. No sex. But they don't believe that today. They think that more sex is better. You know, if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? And look what we have as a result. Look what we have as a result. There's a lot to be said for sexual repression. There's almost that's almost like sacrilege to say that you should suppress sexuality. It's almost pornographic what I just said to you, that you should suppress sexuality in an over-sexualized society. All of Western civilization was created because of repressed sexuality. I've read that too. It's actually a very good theory. You take that energy and you harness that energy and you do something with it other than rut like a mink at a dirty tent. You write something, you paint something, you come up with something, you create something, you build a business, you raise a child. That's what you do with the energy. You don't have to, you know, run around day and night looking for sexual outlets like the vermin in Hollywood tell you do. They're so happy. Take a look at them. That's why they're in and out of rehab. They're doing so well, that's why they're in and out of rehab. Play some music. How about if I were a rich man? I wanted to hear immediately in the back of my head. I don't know why. I don't know why I wanted to hear Fiddler on the Roof. This song could be dedicated to some of Obama's supporters, but that wouldn't work, truthfully. If I said that, it'd be misconstrued.
All day long I biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to
work. What's this with Greece? Why is Greece now the linchpin of this collapse of the world? Well, you know, it's an interesting, metaphorically, it's a very interesting concept that Western civilization is based upon the thinkers, the Greek, you know, the Greek logicians were philosophers of thousands of years ago. It's very fitting that all of the West should collapse based upon the Greek laziness of today. Why are they? Is it lazy or is it the socialist government? There was a time Greeks worked. It's not always been like this. Homeland to monitor. Oh, whatever. Greek leak. What is this now? Greek voice. What is this? What is it? Military chiefs replying. Again, it's the movie Z by Kazantzakis. Kazantzakis didn't do Z, sorry. Kazantzakis wrote some other great books. I forget who did the movie Z. I love that movie. It was a leftist movie about the right-wing takeover in Greece. We should only have a right-wing takeover. Maybe they'd go to work again. Cut off the social services and make them work for a living. Now, this is what happens. You see, this is interesting. Greece is to Europe what the bums in Zucchini Park are to America, or to the middle class. The bums in the parks of America who are screaming corporate this and bail me out, they want you, the middle class, to support them, even though they don't provide anything anyone needs. In other words, they're bums. Greece is the Occupy movement of Europe. All they do is sit around smoking and complaining and polluting the atmosphere and destroying the Parthenon with fumes. It's sad. I mean, it's a beautiful civilization, but its time has come. I mean, it's like Portugal was once a world power. Where are they today? The rich live behind 40-foot walls outside of Lisbon. That's where America's going. I saw this coming 15 years ago. I told my family, eventually the middle class here is going to have to be like in Brazil, living behind gates with armed guards. Guys with, like, shotguns walking around to protect your property. That's coming here. What is a unique? America's unique in that regard. Its uniqueness is over. Take a look who the president is. A communist radical took over the government. What do you expect? He's like Chavez. He's like the guy from Bolivia. There's no difference. Same exact mentality. They're all his buddies. They think the same way, same wavelength. And the cronyism. The cronyism is shocking. You talk about corruption. So now Greece is the linchpin all of a sudden. What happens if the, you see, the Europeans were never permitted to vote on whether they should be members of the EU because the sentiment in Europe is against joining this new communist empire called the EU. The EU is new communism in plain English. It's a soft form of communism, albeit it's not a Soviet-style communism, make no mistake about it. It's a market-based socialism, but it's a new communism. That's what the EU is. It's a giant welfare state. So you take a productive nation like Germany, where the people are still have a work ethic, and they're being told, you have to support the bums of Greece who have no desire to work. Why should they do that? Why should they bail out Greece? Why shouldn't Greece be allowed to fall and have runaway inflation until eventually they pick themselves up by their own souvlaki? I don't understand this. Why do the Europeans insist upon the EU? Because there's more power and fewer hands in plain English. Plain English, that's all. It's socialism. So there it is. The government is not falling. It's like Z all over again, the movie Z. You have to watch that movie. It's pretty interesting. So the Europeans now have to bail out Greece, which is quite telling in its own regard. But I would say let Greece fall. My position would be let Greece fall. Dissolve the EU. It was a noble idea that failed. It never could work. Because the socialists are who wanted the EU to begin with. The people who believe in individual freedom and did not want to be dictated to by a group of child molesters from Brussels always opposed joining the EU. But no one ever asked the people to vote on it. And maybe they could regain their sovereignty and reestablish their borders, language, and culture all over again. Nationalism could rise in all of these nations. I don't mean an unhealthy nationalism. There's a huge chasm between a healthy nationalism and an unhealthy nationalism. An unhealthy nationalism becomes fascism. But a A nation without nationalism becomes nothing. And we are becoming a nothing nation because not one politician will talk about our borders, language, and culture the way I do. Not one. You understand that? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers. Chico, California. Mike, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I'd like to comment on why your ratings are going up.
Please.
And my idea is that it's because of many people like myself in our mid-30s who relate to many of your stories from your mid-30s running to the top of the hill and such. But, you know, we are old enough that, like, my grandfather was a World War II veteran, proud to be an American. You didn't disparage any American aspect in front of him. I'm old
yes.
enough to have experienced that, but then still young enough to have gone through school and been taught to be ashamed of all of that. And
can you imagine that we have a generation being taught by these communist bums in colleges and high schools that America's no good? Can you imagine that these left-wing rats have so infected our society that they've tried to brainwash an entire generation to hate the very nation that gives us everything?
I'm raising three school children right now that are in elementary school. It sickens me to even see what they're doing now. And
well, look, I know it. I raised two children who were adults. You've got to go to the teachers and you got to tell them that you can't do that to my children. I love this country. Stop telling them to hate my country. I know it's hard to do, and don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of these little cowards with teaching credentials. They're nothing. If they're going to teach your child to hate this country and to just go out there and have free love and use dope, then they're practicing child abuse as far as I'm concerned. Wisconsin Ed, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, this is the best time of the day. I walked through the leaves over to my little clubhouse, which sits above a glen that did remind you of Ireland, have an Irish beer, smoke a stogie, and listen to Michael Savage.
That's interesting. So I'm kind of like a buddy in the cabin with you.
That's right. That's right. I listen to the old sage and get mad just like you at all these politicians.
Yeah. Someone has to get mad at them because this is getting worse, not better. When I read that John Boehner says he understands the Occupy people, I mean, what does that tell you about the so-called Republican Party and why they're trying to shaft?
We need to
absolutely.
Clean house.
You know, I appreciate your call. Let me send you a copy of Abuse of Power to while away your time in that cabin. I'm reading a book. I wish I had it. It's in the car outside the studio. It's about the World War II fighter pilots who basically won the Pacific Air War against the Japanese, who were phenomenal warriors, by the way. The Japanese war, don't underestimate how good they were. The Japanese Zero was a better plane than we had at the time. The Japanese carriers were more advanced than ours at the time. And these guys basically were engaged in a suicide mission in every flight. They didn't expect to come back. You think that only the other side had kamikaze flights? Most of these guys never expected to come back from any one of their missions. And it was these guys who saved us in the Pacific. So I'm reading about the heroism of these men, and the daring and the kind of admirals and leaders that we had in the military. And I'm just astounded when I compare it to guys like Admiral Mullen. Admiral Mullen, the empty suit, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I can't imagine us ever winning another war. Look at what just happened in Libya. Take a look at how long it took for Hillary to gloat, "We came, we saw, he died." Now, could you imagine, by the way, it's a separate story. Can you imagine if a Republican came back with that macho attitude and laughed and gloated over killing a head of state? "We came, we saw, he died." Can you imagine if Bush had said a thing like that? You're living in an Alice in Wonderland world where I don't have to tell you what I've written about for so many years. All I can tell you is that we still have a hardcore in this country, mainly in the Midwest and the South, who will save our bacon again if the time comes. You will not be saved if the time comes by the rats in the tents in the Occupy movement. They'll run like scared little rabbits. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Fresno, California. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I personally believe that it's because you are
the evolution of talk radio.
You say I'm evolutionary in talk radio. I'd like to understand why, what you mean by evolution in talk radio. In what sense?
Well, I just believe that your approach, sometimes you feel like talking politics, sometimes you feel like talking about your dog.
Okay, so it's a different method of getting across a political message.
Exactly.
Yes, okay, I could buy that. And sometimes I can't take politics for another second. Scott, I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power. I want to mention something before I take this break. I got to tell you this, and, you know, I don't often do this. In fact, I've never done it. I have a couple of boats. One of them is an outboard, a runabout, like a 10-foot rubber boat, right? And it was bought brand new in 2007, and it had a 40-horsepower Yamaha engine on it. It never, ever worked right. Now, partly to blame was me because I didn't use it. I didn't know that if they sit, the gas gums up the jets in the carburetor. I just didn't know that, right? Nevertheless, it was fixed. They replaced the carburetors. It still didn't run right. It gummed up. I complained to Yamaha outboard once. I got to tell you, you got to hear this. You want to know what a good company is? And they don't pay for this advertising. I'm almost reluctant to do it, but I have to do it. Do you know that Yamaha outboard replaced that carbureted engine with a brand new fuel-injected engine, which runs, I never saw anything like this. They didn't have to do it. That's a $5,000, $7,000 engine. It was out of warranty. There was negligence on my part because I didn't run it enough. I didn't run it once a month. I didn't put in some stuff you have to put in to keep the fuel from gumming up. I got to tell you, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. And the reason I'm saying this to you is that not only because I gained from Yamaha in the sense of a new engine, but because there are companies that take pride in their product and stick by their product. That's what I'm getting at. This is capitalism, my friends. Go try to get a replacement motor from a Soviet-era car manufacturer, as so many idiots would like to see in America. A state-run, can you imagine a state-run bureaucracy replacing an engine that didn't work right 2 years after the warranty ran out? I'll be right back.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Superstar Savage skyrockets. Limbaugh plateaus. Groucho flatlines. Wallbanger dips. I won't read the rest of them because many of you don't know them, but that's good. It's good. I'm happy about it. What is it going to do for me? You know, that they used to have a statement that in a dollar will get you into a subway. So it's not that it's going to put money in my pocket or, you know, I'm going to go home tonight and the dog's going to lick me more. It's a certain victory within my own head, which it just confirms what I suspect is true, that although I'm unknown to the media because they want to block me out, the people know me. They know who I am. I'm an entity. I have written the most brilliant books of anybody in the radio business. There are others who have outsold my books, but they're not as brilliant. My books are far more brilliant, and that's because I bring to it a lot of work and a lot of detail and a lot of verification, like trickle-up poverty. I spelled out Obamacare. I told you that the waivers would sink Obamacare when it hit the Supreme Court. Now you had Nancy Pelosi having the nerve to say the 1,800 waivers don't matter. Unbelievable. I could have predicted that eventually Obamacare will go up in smoke in large part because it was corrupt from the beginning, unconstitutional from the beginning. But there is so much more to what is going on. The corruption has never been this bad. This is the most corrupt administration in American history. It doesn't matter what the media is not telling you. Just look at the facts of what this man has done to this country. He's even boasting that he's gotten 60% of his communist agenda already across. I agree with him. 60% of the socialist communist agenda has already been imposed on the American people. With a little help from the vermin in the media and the corrupt business community, particularly those in the fake green energy community. And let me be clear about the green energy. Who hasn't dreamed of a car that runs on sunlight? I've dreamed of it since I'm a child. I have muscle cars, I have regular cars, I have vans, etc. But I'd like to have a hydrogen car. They don't exist. I think 50 years from now we might have one. So you're saying, well, why don't you agree then that the government should fund it? That's what socialist governments do. Don't you remember when America was still a capitalist nation, in large part, how we groused about the fact that the Concorde jet was built through a French-British government consortium of money, and it was an unfair competition for Boeing, which was a private enterprise company. Remember those days? Those arguments are not even being discussed anymore. You assume that a state should now fund a private business? Why? Why should a state fund a private business? Especially when that private business consists of people who've given money to the government, meaning Obama. It's corruption. It's graft. Don't you see that? If you can't see it, then you're blind. New York, WOR, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I think your success on the internet streaming piece is really centered around the fact that you just make sense. I had my 14-year-old daughter listen to the stream on What Jesus Occupies at Cotty Park. She listened to it intently. I sat there with her. After it was over, I said to her, what do you think? You know what she says to me, Dr. Savage? She goes, Dad, it just makes sense. This is a 14-year-old. This is why your numbers are going through the roof, because you just make sense, Dr. Savage.
Well, I try to. I try to use logic. I've been trained in Aristotelian methods. I've been trained in the reality of science, scientific method, and logic, something that's sorely missing in the media, I would assume. They're using fake figures and emotion and no reality to what they're saying. So I think people... Hemingway said it best. I think it was Hemingway said if you the truth has a certain ring to it. I think Hemingway wrote that. He was a man to try to write as succinctly as possible as a former journalist. And he wrote that the truth has a certain ring to it. I think it's true in talk radio or in common language between people. I really do. And I hope that people understand that I'm doing this because I'm trying to get the truth out there before it's too late, before we wake up with a monster that we can never get rid of, a monkey on our back that we cannot get rid of, the monkey of socialism. Once it becomes an addiction, to the extent as it had become in the ex-Soviet Union, you can't get the monkey off your back without a bloody revolution. And that's not what any of us want. You know, I would send you a copy of Abuse of Power for your daughter, but I'm not going to do it because there are four real sex scenes in it, and I don't think it's appropriate for a 14-year-old. There's nothing F about it. There's no dirty words in it. You know what I'm saying? But it's not for a child to read. It's for a man. I'll send it to you. Don't let your daughter see it. Well, no, I mean, it's part of life. I think the sex scenes are very good, but I didn't write it for the sex scenes. I mean, the dog show is a good scene, too. The Cow Palace dog show, I love that one. I loved the dog show. So they're at a dog show when Jack and Sarah meet Senator Wickham. And they're looking at all different dogs, right? And he's talking, there's all sorts of poodles, Irish wolfhounds, Boykin spaniels, German wirehead pointers, Great Danes, Mastiffs, Rottweilers, from large to small, fluffy to nearly hairless, all magnificent in their own way. This is page 276 of Abuse of Power. The best of the best on display. An Irish wolfhound caught Jack's attention, a breed he had always admired for its beauty and fearlessness. They were known to hunt wolves in packs. Now, here's a great line. Listen to this. There were also Turkish sheepdogs. Their gigantic spiked iron anti-wolf collars displayed beside them as they got to their feet. These Anatolian shepherd dogs hid among the sheep, giving an attacking wolf a huge surprise when they bit into their iron collars. Jack had long been a dog lover, and seeing a gray poodle parade proudly across the floor made him instantly miss Eddie. It's interesting. So then they go to the seat and they meet Senator Harold Wickham, by the way. It's a very important story. And so then Jack looks at Wickham's bodyguard, who didn't seem to approve of him. In a way, it was fitting. Jack just found out what it was like to be a Muslim under suspicion. Jack noted curiously that the bodyguard had what looked like a laser pointer clipped to the breast pocket of his jacket and wondered what it was for. Well, those of you who've read the book know what it's for. So let me just... Here's a cute part of it. I'll speed up to 278, then we'll go back to regular programming. Did you know that a Newfoundland once saved Napoleon Bonaparte from drowning when he fell off a ship? Napoleon didn't know how to swim, but Newfoundlands are notorious for their affinity with water. After the rescue, Napoleon himself is supposed to have said, "Here, gentlemen, a dog teaches us a lesson in humanity." Wickham chuckled. "Indeed. Loyalty," Wickham went on. "That's what it's all about. You know the story about Grey Friars Bobby, don't you, Jack?" Jack nodded, but the senator pointed to a waiting group of Skye Terriers and continued. Grey Friars became famous in 19th century Edinburgh after reportedly spending 14 years guarding over the grave of his owner, John Gray. A year after this loyal little dog died himself in 1873, a statue and fountain were built in the Scottish capital to remember him. I know the story well, Jack said with a nod, from the 1961 Disney film about that angel with fur called Gray Friars Bobby. Wickham smiled warmly. Saw it as a boy, made me what I am today. I don't just mean the dog lover. I mean the concept of loyalty, dedication, no matter the inconvenience or cost. Without it, you're nothing. Jack was enjoying the conversation, but had more pressing matters on hand. Senator, we need to talk about the hand of Allah. And I'll stop right there. This book is about one man who tries to stop the next 9/11, which is going to be conducted in America by the hand of Allah. Okay? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Illinois, Jason, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that I think your view of the protesters is wrong. I think that capitalism actually is an evil system, and I'm not saying that socialism is the answer, but there ought to be something better than...
There ought to be. And what would that be, since neither system works? What system would work? Trading corn for cars?
Bartering would work better than this.
Oh, bartering. What do you have to barter, Jason? Jason, what do you have to barter? Jason, stop. What do you have to barter for the electric that comes into your house?
Nothing, really. But if we
all right, so therefore you don't like the system because you're a loser in it.
No, I don't like the system.
Well, you're a loser in the system, so you don't like it. You're one of those who want the government to hold you by the hand and give you a handout. I understand why you want communism. But if you remember what communism did in the ex-Soviet Union, there was massive starvation and deprivation. Didn't you learn that in school, Jason?
It's getting ready to happen here, under capitalism.
Oh, Jason, please. It didn't happen here, Jason. Jason, there's no hunger in America. Nobody's shivering to death at night for lack of warmth. Don't give me that garbage. You've got a warm bed to go to at night, don't you?
I do. 50,000 factories.
Oh, wait, don't give me statistics. Who provides that electric for you in that heat, Jason?
Somebody in a coal-fired power plant somewhere.
Uh-huh. And that's polluting, isn't it?
Well, it is.
It's polluting the environment.
So
Jason, it's polluting that evil coal-fired plant.
Oh, so we should just sit in our house.
Yeah. Well, maybe the wind coming out of your mouth can be harvested and harnessed to warm you up underneath your parka.
So we should all just...
Well, Jason, what world do you live in? Tell me what world you live in. You live in a world of delusion. You're living in a warm house. You're not hungry, right? And someone is providing you with the heat, the electricity, the running water, police services, fire services. If you fall down, God forbid, you get to a hospital for free. All of that costs something. Who do you think is paying for it, Jason?
Me. I pay for it.
You pay for all of it?
For most of it. My taxes go to pay for roads, my... insurance that I have through my job pays for my health care.
So you do work. Well, welcome to the working poor. What percent of your taxes are federal?
I probably pay a good fourth of my income in taxes total. I don't know what goes to where, state.
Do you earn less than or more than $30,000 a year?
More than. Double that, actually.
You earn about $60,000 a year. So you're in the lower quartile of federal taxation. Do you know who pays the majority of federal taxes?
Mm-mm.
Yes or no?
No.
The majority of federal taxes are paid by the rich. Did you know that or not?
No, that's good. That's the way it should be.
And did you know that the poor pay no federal taxes?
They don't pay federal taxes per se.
That's right. They pay no federal taxes. And do you know that 53% of the American people pay the majority of all the taxes and 47% pay no federal taxes? You think that's a fair system, that nearly one out of two workers should pay no taxes?
Is it fair that 400 people
are... No, don't change the argument. Is it fair that one out of two pay no taxes? Is it fair that General Electric pays no income tax on $5.3 billion in earnings and they get away with it because Jeffrey Immelt of GE works for Obama in the some jobs council or whatever? Do you think that's fair?
No, that's not fair, but one out of two.
Do you think it's fair that Obama grants another $1.2 billion in free loans to a crony in the solar energy business because the man donates money to him? You can't admit that that's fair. I mean, you wouldn't say that that's fair, would you, Jason?
I'm not a fan of Obama or any of these people in there.
Well, all right, good. I'm glad. You're not as bad as you sounded originally. That's all. Let's move on.
Savage.
You have such civil disobedience, reaching a level where business is being interrupted, the public safety is being affected, public health is being affected, and there's no governor. I'm all in favor of the right to protest. I live by the First Amendment. However, I do not interfere with other people's rights to come to and from work, go to a hospital. I don't interfere with their public health. I don't engage in sexual assault or rape or thievery. I don't use drugs. Do you understand the difference? Do you not understand the difference? Peggy in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, First Amendment. Always. You always talk about the First Amendment. You say it in your commercials. Freedom of speech. This is freedom of speech.
Well, what are you hysterical about? You mean you don't know the difference between freedom of speech? Be quiet. You don't know the difference between freedom of speech and sexual assault, thievery, drug use?
New York City. No, no. These kids are doing the right thing. Freedom of speech.
These kids? Have you been there? Have you seen that they're not kids? Excuse me, what'd you go limp all of a sudden? Your union controller told you what to say and then told you to hang up? What do you mean these kids? Have you been there and seen them?
I've seen plenty, yes, yes. And
what are you an unemployed vagrant yourself?
No.
What exactly do you do for the society at large? Since you're so concerned with social welfare of our society, what do you do for the society?
I did plenty. I worked very hard. And now
you did what? Okay, what did you do? Let's hear what you did.
I worked for 20 years, and now I'm enjoying my retirement. But when I look at television...
Oh, you're enjoying your retirement. How are you enjoying it?
They've had protests.
Are you laying in a tent with one of the youngsters? Is that why you enjoy the young people?
No, I enjoy that they're doing what's good for the country. So let them know, let the government know what's going on.
But you're enjoying your retirement. How come you're not donating your hard-earned cash to those who are engaging in these things?
I give my cash to the veterans, which I'm sorry that nobody talks about the veterans. They talk about this.
Oh, so you think that these vermin in the gutters are now like veterans who fought for our freedom?
No, but I say I give to the veterans, for the disabled veterans.
Well, that's all well and good, but how do you jumble up veterans with the vermin in the gutter?
No, they're not vermin in the gutter at all, no.
Well, why don't you go join them, and why don't you take your retirement and give it to them? Why don't you donate it to them?
No, I did my share.
All right, take a walk, okay? Leave me alone already. I can't... See, this is the problem. You've got gullible, you've got miserable people, gullible people, angry people. This is what is dangerous. I went in front of this crowd and I saw them. I saw who these hardcore rats are. Let me explain to you, these are not kids. And let me tell you something else. I'm a student of history. Do you know who Hitler used in the concentration camps to beat up and to kill and torture his victims? It was the vagrants like this. He got bums like this. He gave them a uniform. He gave them clubs. He gave them guns. He gave them police dogs. And he told them to keep the people in order. They were not ordinary Germans. They were the discontent. They were the malcontents. They were the sadists like this. These mobs are filled with some of the most dangerous people in American society. Make no mistake about it. The reason they're in the streets is because they hate the society. They're malcontents. They're maladjusted. They have never conformed. They never will conform. They'd like to bring down the entire edifice, and we will all suffer as a result. They're not just innocent kids who want justice in this society. If they did, they'd be outside the General Electric building. They'd be rioting outside the GE building saying, pay your fair share of taxes. Or in San Francisco, if these were kids, they'd be outside Feinstein's house saying, how did you invest in a company knowing it would get a $24 million loan? But they're not outside those houses, are they? They have been deflected onto the wrong targets. How do you confuse the First Amendment with taking over a park and using it as a public outhouse? How do you confuse expressing the First Amendment with raping people, robbing people, scamming people into donating money, and then using it to purchase drugs? How do you not understand what is going on here? You know, last night I watched a TV show that had me so upset I couldn't sleep. I told you I'm a fan of military history. I watch it repeatedly. Last night they had a show on about Nazi collaborators. This is a series they've been running. It's astounding. It's one of the best sequences I've ever seen. Well, last night it was about the Croatian Catholics, the member of the Ustashi, and what they did to Serbs and Jews. You don't know what went on there. I knew a lot about it when Serbia was being mercilessly bombed by Bill Clinton. You didn't know that Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright committed war crimes when they attacked the Serbs who were defending themselves against the very people who threw their parents into graves while they were alive, stabbed their children to death. You had no idea what was going on then, just as most of you don't have any idea what's going on now. The masses of people in this country are total ignoramuses. And that's why these Occupy groups are getting away with this kind of situation. It's because you don't even understand where they stand with regard to history. Just as you didn't understand that your boy, Bill Clinton, conducted a massive war crime when he unleashed U.S. bombers repainted as NATO bombers on Serbia, you didn't understand any of it. Instead, you went along with the lockstep liberals who told you he was liberating the concentration camps. The Serbs were defending themselves against the Croatian Nazi movement that had been reignited by the leadership of Croatia after the Balkans started to blow up again. It's too long a story for me to tell you all at once and in 3 or 4 minutes. But let me tell you something. The very same ignorant mentality that let Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright get away with a war crime is letting this situation here in the Occupy movements, a communist front group, a communist movement that threatens the stability of all of us, even that old retired woman doesn't even understand it. That is why they're getting away with it, because they have the sympathy of the ignorant.
Savage.